It's time to get in the loop with LPS, the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. From the latest school and district news, updates on various district hot topics, and opportunities to meet all of those that help make LPS great, In the Loop with LPS is here to provide yet another opportunity for us to stay connected with you. So let's get started and send you to the longtime director of communications with Liberty Public Schools and your host of In the Loop with LPS, Dallas Ackerman.
And we are back for another edition of In the Loop with LPS. It's the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. We have now entered the calendar year 2024 and glad to have a special guest with us this week. He is the Chief Operations Officer in Liberty Public Schools. His name is Steve Anderson. And Steve, I know you've had so many achievements and crowning moments in your career. To be a guest on In the Loop with LPS has to be right up near the top.
Yeah. Crowning achievements. I've been here. This is my 10th year with the district was actually hired on by Dr. Tucker when he started as superintendent back in 14. And so it's been a good 10 years, busy 10 years, and have enjoyed it thoroughly.
We've done, upwards of 8 or 10 of these interviews on the podcast since the start of this school year. I've interviewed some that I know very little about going into the interview. I've learned a lot. Of course, you're somebody that being on the same floor and in our respective roles, we've had an opportunity to get to know each other well. We connect multiple times during the work day. So I don't have any idea how this interview is going to go, to be honest.
Same. Agree. I guess just buckle up and let's see what we got.
Well, I don't want to begin things with this topic, but I will, as I shared with you before the interview. Of course, 2024 has started a little bit rocky when it comes to weather and the challenges of inclement weather days, and you are right in the middle of that, of course, with your duties and those that report in your department, transportation, maintenance. Talk about your role with that and what goes in making these decisions.
Sure. Yeah, I'd first like to stress I make no decisions. I only make recommendations, and so I just want that to be very well known. But
yes.
Usually it's when we get wind that there's going to be some questionable weather. We know we're going to be up early and driving about town. And so typically Dr. Tucker and I split the district in half, and I tend to stay on the east side. He tends to stay on the west side, and we drive about if it's icy or if it's snowy. And both of us have four-wheel vehicles, but we both put it in a two-wheel drive just to kind of get a sense of the conditions. So we're out kind of checking road conditions, trying to cover the rural parts, the busier streets, some of the neighborhood streets. I'm also in conversation with the transportation department, who is keeping an eye on their drivers and the fleet, make sure the fleet's in good operating condition. And they're also in contact with other departments, transportation departments across the metro. At the same time, Dr. Tucker's in very close contact with his counterparts, mostly up here in the Northland, just to see what they're seeing and what they're thinking. And we try to coordinate as best as possible. And it's often an interesting time of debate and conversation as we get to the point where we make a decision and trying to do it in a timely manner.
And I think at the end of the day, that the top priority being the safety of not only our students, but our staff.
Really,
and,
yeah.
We've had five of them just here in January. I think at the end of the day, albeit I know folks can sometimes get upset or stressed about a call closer to 6 o'clock, but it's just keeping those people off the road.
Right, right. And that's the thing. We have to keep in mind the buses, obviously. We have to keep in mind parents dropping off. We have a lot of our students that are driving, right? Yeah. And so, when you think it's a close call, it's actually not a close call because we're always going to err on the side of safety. But sometimes, in the last couple of days here, the conditions, it can be right up into that 4:30, 5, 5:36, and we're usually out a little after 4. So it's ever-changing, and sometimes with icy conditions, it's 1 degree or 2 degrees can make all the difference in the world. So, it's tough. We always want to keep school in session if possible, but sometimes have to call it a day.
When you were talking about those that are out braving the elements, driving the roads, 85 square miles of road throughout LPS, you didn't mention my name as one of those out driving. Would you like to share with our listeners my role during this process?
Well, usually it's sleeping and hoping that you answer the phone when we're in a situation where we have to communicate out to families. But of course, you're usually ahead of this, I would assume, before you go to bed at night. You've kind of prepared and have messages ready to go, not knowing if it could be a last-minute thing. So very critical last-minute role that you play from the confines of your bedroom, I think, as I understand it.
Thank you. Again, this is Steve Anderson. He's our Chief Operations Officer here in Liberty Public Schools. I didn't just have you come in to talk about inclement weather.
Good.
I definitely want to talk about construction and facilities here in a moment, because a lot of activity on that front. But as we start these conversations, I always like, I think people enjoy kind of hearing the story of our guests and just where you've come from. So I want to dive into that. I think it's worth starting. I'm sure those that haven't met you and they're listening, they kind of maybe pick up on that northern accent. So I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah. My wife and I are both from the Milwaukee area, and we grew up together, dated in high school. And when we decided to get married, we decided that whoever landed the first job, that's kind of where we would end up. I was finishing up grad school. She got her teaching degree. She was hired on. She went to a job fair, I think in Illinois, got hired on at KCMO Public Schools. And so I was still hadn't kind of landed a job. We moved down here to Kansas City. And I started working down at the Mid-America Regional Council. My background is I have a master's degree in city planning. Worked at, that's a downtown Kansas City regional planning agency. And did that for a few years, kind of bounced around a little bit, and then came back to Kansas City in 1998. I was hired to be the planning director for the City of Liberty. And I was there a good 12 and a half years. Then I moved to William Jewell to be facilities operations up there. And kind of was very involved in the construction of the prior learning commons up there. And I did that for a few years. And then 2014, this position opened up. I didn't even think to actually apply. Was encouraged by a good friend of mine to apply. Wasn't really looking. And it didn't take too long before I knew it. I was interviewing and then an offer, and seemed like a good career move and great organization. We've had four kids, K through 12, come through the system. Two are still in college, two are out and about, one's in California and one's in Boston. It's been a great ride. Kids got great education. My wife currently works for the school district as well. It's been a good quarter of a century.
Kind of a unique story in the fact, of course, you again work for the City of Liberty, work for William Jewell, and then now Liberty Public Schools, three of the huge organizations here in Liberty. The thing that jumps out at me would be the relationship piece. I mean, that has to be invaluable, because you didn't come to LPS without any relationships within our local community. How important was that for you?
I hope it was important and has been helpful for the district. I think, you know, having been around and know the area as well as I do, and having contacts and being well known by people in city and government and at the college in those circles, I hope has been helpful. It's good. It's good to be able to make a call to somebody to kind of get to the bottom of something pretty quickly, and taking advantage of kind of relationships that I've kind of made over the years.
Again, Steve Anderson, Chief Operations Officer here in Liberty Public Schools, our guest on In the Loop here this week. We talked a little bit about some of the departments that are under you and with transportation. Talked about maintenance a little bit. We've also had guests earlier on this year with Kathy Ellermeyer in Health Services, Gary Majors in Safety and Security. Your oversight encompasses a lot of individuals, a lot of departments. Could you talk about that and all the moving pieces?
So there are eight departments that kind of follow up my way. So you mentioned transportation, technology, security, health services, nutrition services, purchasing, facilities, maintenance and grounds, and kids' zone. I think those are the eight. And so in each of those departments has a director that reports directly to me. So that's kind of the day-to-day of what I do. And then I'm sure we'll pivot here in a minute. I think in part because of some of my background and experience on the planning side, been very involved in the facility master planning process, the preparation of the bond materials and conversations to go in front of the board, and then eventually in front of voters, and then overseeing, I guess, in some ways, the construction process, of which we're, you know, just getting ready to kind of go full tilt on right now. So I would say I spend about half of my time on kind of department matters and the other half of my time on, you know, planning construction. And then, of course, in our roles, as you know, Dallas, oftentimes the unforeseen is before us. And unfortunately, a lot of times it's more in that kind of crisis or concerning area. And we have to kind of gather up and spend time to kind of find pathways through those situations. So, that's kind of it in a nutshell.
You mentioned, kind of teased out, construction. I know a lot of people in the community interested in that. Mm-hmm. Of course, gosh, what's that? Almost been 10 months that we had the big passage of the bond issue, largest bond issue in district history. $120 million overall, $100 million approximately as far as construction that will actually be taking place. We're starting to see some of the work that's being completed. Couple projects. Let's start there and then maybe work our way through kind of what we're going to see over the next few years.
Sure. So since there is so much to this, we've tried to break it down and we're referred to it as waves because there are different waves of construction that are going to happen. And before every wave, there's all the planning, design, putting out to bid, all the kind of prep work, right? And so right now, the what we're dealing with it from a construction standpoint is we did finish up tennis late fall, the tennis courts at Liberty High School. I think that's a great add to this campus. We're looking out the window at Liberty High right now. And then the ones at both at Liberty High and Liberty North, we've been putting in turf at both baseball facilities, soon to be followed by the softball facilities as well. So those are the projects right now that are actually crews are out, we're moving dirt and kind of getting after it. Baseball, we're really hoping we get those wrapped up by the time of the start of the baseball season, which is by the end of February. We're trying to get those wrapped up. Might be a close call, but I think we're doing everything we can and are hopeful that we'll get that ready for the season. After that, we're starting to put up some construction fencing and get ready for that next wave. And the one is Epic. Epic is going to get a new storm shelter / gym / art room / music space. Great add to that building, which I think, as some might know, was not designed as an elementary school. So there's been some retrofitting, and I think this is the last big piece to kind of have that school on par with our other elementary schools in terms of design. We're also building we purchased the Mid-Continent Library, the old Mid-Continent Library, and we're converting that into the technology center, which will house our technology department. It'll also house fine arts and kids' own programs, just kind of their leadership teams. Then we're also going to be building fairly soon, starting construction on a distribution center, which is going to be located down near and adjacent to the facility center, which is down off of 291, kind of across the way from Belvoir Winery, and that will house our distribution department, and a lot of our storage will kind of move down to that space, including we've never had a centralized area to put nutrition services, cold and frozen kind of storage. I think that will really help that department considerably. And then the other that we're going to wait until closer to the end of school year is Discovery and South Valley are both getting the gym / storm shelter adds. And so those will be big projects that will take us through this summer and beyond, probably a good year and a half. After that, there's a lot of other smaller projects, but then the other two, couple big ones kind of in that next wave coming through, we have Liberty High School. We're redoing where the sped and facts wing is, and we're gonna be redoing the cafeteria and the scramble area. And some other work. And we're really going to be investing quite a bit of resources into heritage, a couple phases of heritage, including a really pretty wholesale renovation of the 64 building, the 1964 building, which is kind of the one that's on the eastern side when it was added on. And then eventually we'll take on, I think it's a 23 building after that. So a lot of work over the next year and a half, plus in Heritage. We're building a new building where the academy is. That's going to be like a workshop area for a lot of the stuff that they like to do that we'd like them to be able to do it safely and in compliant with codes. And so we're going to make a safe space for them to work on cars and do some art and do some other things that they like to do, woodwork, woodshop. That's another pretty significant project that's going to be forthcoming. There's other things as well. I'm sure I'm missing things, but that's kind of a quick overview.
Well, I was about to say you rattled all those projects off, and ladies and gentlemen, he does not have a note in front of him. Just off the cuff, Steve Anderson with the rundown of the various projects. So much going on, and that's something I'm sure some people are interested in with all of these moving parts. And I know that, and we've had these conversations before where sometimes people may get frustrated wondering why the project doesn't get started sooner. And you've done a great job explaining to me that process. Could you, in a nutshell, kind of summarize it for those listening?
Sure. I'd be remiss if I did not stress. So there are several people, district staff, that are within the operations department that are very involved in this work as well. And they're at different levels. But Justin Preston's our project manager. He's the closest guy we have that's kind of on the ground relating, you know, to the guys in the field to make sure everything's kind of happening as it should be. And then his boss, Steve Aldrich, the director of facilities, maintenance, and grounds, he's involved in these conversations as well. Of course, Trey Kotzer, our technology director, Jason Bright, purchasing and distribution. There's others, but that's the core team that are very involved, working very closely with our architects, our engineers, our construction management folks, and then some of the specialists that come in alongside that. So we meet regularly as a team, just to ensure that these projects are kind of moving forward as they should. But before that, and I think this is what you're referring to, there's just so much work to be done, you know, starting, I won't even get into the work of identifying, you know, where the needs are. I mean, there's a lot to be said there, and where the focus of the district should be and where we need to be spending and investing our money. There's work there, and a lot of it's enrollment projections and the like that come into effect. But what we have to do then is once we identify that, we have to present it to the board. We have to present, you know, rough costs, and we take it to the community through the master planning process, kind of get input from them and preferences. Once we then are at a point that we have an idea what projects we want to include, we then have to identify how much money we have available through bonding without raising our tax rate, which is really critical and has been for several years around here since I think 2011 or so, that anything we take forward, we want it as much as possibly to be a no tax increase proposal. But it's framing all that up takes a lot of time. And then once you have that and you've kind of sold it and the community approves it, which is great. And I think we approved this last one at near 80%, which is pretty remarkable. That's when the work begins. And so that we've not invested in conducting surveys and bringing in engineers to look at storm drainage issues and get the architects in line, and because the architects come in and they have to bring in people from the building, you know, other people within the district to decide how best to design these projects, right? And that just takes time. So you get through the design process, and then you have to go through a bidding process. And we have very strict guidance we have to follow when anything is put out, anything from a public entity that's put out for construction. So we have to follow that process. And then you have to bring in and get them under contract, get their schedules aligned with ours. There's so much coordination in those efforts. And then the work begins. And then even in that, you don't know what you're running into, from weather to, you know, we've run into rock conditions that we didn't anticipate, and kind of being able to adjust quickly on the fly. So it's that team and constant contact and conversation to best ensure that we're spending public dollars wisely and we're getting the projects done that we want to get done, right? So that's kind of that in an overview.
Yeah, I'm Steve Anderson, Chief Operations Officer, kind enough to join us this week as part of In the Loop with LPS, already sharing with us a lot of great information. And so we talk about this, and you mentioned a few of those projects starting to get off the ground. Things are really going to ramp up, though, later this spring into summer?
Yeah, right. That'll be the first, I think, it's, you know, especially some of the most noticeable projects are the gym ads, storm shelter ads at Epic, South Valley and Discovery, because you'll see those. Those are schools that, well, everybody will see. So right now, the technology center, the old library, it's happening, but it's a building, so it's all happening inside. Yeah, you know, and it's a little bit out of the way. But yeah, those school projects, I think people will really take note of. I also think once the baseball turf goes down and those projects snap together, that's another one, kind of like the football facilities that were a little jarring to, because it comes together so quick and it's just transformational for those programs. And so those will be nice to kind of wrap those up here in the coming months as well.
So a question that may come up, it would be from a patron: when will this big round of $100 million in projects be fully completed? 25?
No, it'll be beyond that. I mean, I think it'll be closer to late 26, maybe even leading 27. And a lot of it just has to do that you can't, you know, some of these, like Heritage is a great example. The amount of work we're going to do at Heritage is going to require us to work beyond summer. And in doing that within the building while school's in session to make sure everything's safe and, you know, kind of access and movement of equipment and parking, it just gets pretty involved. So it'll take a few years before we get through that full list. I would say late 26, early 27.
So then the way this seems to always go, at least in my experience, is it's just constantly, it's a fluid moving process as far as this work continues. You get to 27. While that's going on, we continue the planning process. I know that there's now, I have heard Dr. Tucker mention, and you as well, the demographer report getting ready to get re-racked and, mm-hmm. and have that, which is critical for us. Yeah. Could you kind of talk about that here in the coming months?
Yeah, we're in conversations and interviews right now with prospective demographers to take this work on. And it really is the key first step in this process that I've outlined. It really does start with that, and it's just enrollment projections. And there's a whole lot of science to that. They're kind of interesting. It's interesting work. They rely on a lot of different factors, from birth rate to housing analysis to commercial development to roadway construction. So there's a lot of different factors that come into play. But it's a professionally prepared plan that shows you what your current enrollment is, and then based on projected growth, not only what you'll see as an entirety of a district, but where that growth will happen within the district. And so I think this has just been a continual loop for the district for generation plus, is we've been very methodical about, you start there, it leads you to kind of where we're at now with construction, as that's wrapping up. You know, the demographer will show us where those growth pressures are to see if we, you know, come 25, 26, as we're wrapping up construction, if we need to think about that next round of construction and dependent upon our growth needs. You know, it's just this way I'm showing you, obviously they can't see through this microphone, but it's a little bit of a circular loop, yeah, of what we follow. And I think it tends to work quite well for us.
Something that we have needed to do in the last several years would be construct new buildings. It's mainly been add-ons, yep, to facilities, which is huge from the financial piece. Mm-hmm. I know you don't have necessarily a crystal ball, but at least as we stand right now, right, the need for brand new buildings, whether it be elementary, middle, or high, where would you see that standing?
Yeah, it's really not showing up. What I would share is, and this is a national trend, and we're seeing it here as well, is our growth has kind of plateaued over the last few years. We've had different demographers confirm that, and will be interesting with the next one we bring on if they also confirm it as well. So our growth overall as a district is seemingly plateaued. And again, that's consistent with what you're seeing nationally right now. People are waiting to have kids or having fewer kids, you know, housing prices, everything kind of factors in. So that's pretty significant. What we're seeing in Liberty, though, is it's a little bit, we have some areas of the district that are growing and some that are maybe shrinking a little bit, right? So we have some things that we have to focus on. One thing you don't want to do as a district is you don't want to overbuild. And I think that's really the value of the enrollment projections, to always kind of make sure you're not, you know, maybe overreacting to a new development, or, you know, thinking, okay, we're going to have to add a new school. Because bear in mind, not only the school costs of a new elementary school, which is north of $100 million, but then you have to fully staff it, right? And you have to operate it. And so that added cost is really significant. So it is important to kind of keep that in check and in mind as you're going through the process.
And on that topic, I think one of them, we've talked about this, I've shared this, probably one of the most common questions we receive is, when's Liberty getting a third high school? And not, I have no interest putting myself, you, anyone else in a corner, but, and I think the reason why people might ask that is the fact they're looking around and you see construction and you're seeing developments. But again, what we've seen, at least to this point, would be the fact that, you know, it may be further down the road than what many may think. Would that be accurate?
I mean, that, as we sit here today, that's absolutely
subject to change.
Right. But what I would stress is when I started in 14, some of the most recent demographer enrollment projection work, so back maybe a couple cycles, 3, 5, 6 years, it was starting to show a third high school that you might need to start planning in that third high school. And so it was very much kind of part of that conversation. And that's why I think you hear people, and I get asked that out and about a fair amount as well. So again, back to that, you don't want to overbuild. So thankfully, you know, we've kind of held stayed the course. We don't need one, definitely not now. And it doesn't look like we need one, you know, for the next 5-10 years for sure. If the growth continues in its current form, and again, always can change.
Yeah.
But I would just stress, I think the most significant thing that, and again, I say this because it's not just in Liberty, is there's something different. I think things are changing. You know, it's like we've gotten used to this, you know, the typical house with the, you know, 2.2 kids, and just kind of they come up and these neighborhoods could develop. It's just the next generation coming in. It's just got a different mindset, I think. And it just feels like maybe this is something that could carry on for a while.
Jack, we have a few more minutes here with Chief Operations Officer Steve Anderson. I knew this time would go fast. Coming up on 10 years as COO in LPS. So you're going to be eligible to receive a 10-year service plaque, right, coming up in August at our staff kickoff. Is that one of the driving reasons that you have stuck around so long?
I mean, it's part of it. In addition to getting this in-the-loop coffee mug and T-shirt that you just getting ahead of time, yes, the plaque is always. I'm looking forward to getting my plaque. I don't know where I'll hang it, but I will cherish it.
Look forward to that. 10 years, though. I mean, gosh, these years fly by, and it's kind of crazy. But to think back, and here I've been in the district coming up on 22 years. And I think what stands out to me is, you know, 10, 12 years ago, we were in need of a lot of facilities. I mean, I think back, if 10, 12 years ago, we didn't have a stadium for our football, one, not, let alone two, to play games at. And then you talk about some of the other renovations all across the district. As you look back on the last decade, what would you be most proud about in what you've seen out of the work?
You know, I am proud of being a part of a broader team and working closely kind of in the political environment that we, you know, with board members and putting together plans coming up and developing, you know, deciding what the priorities are of the district. And I think where I feel like I am maybe most helpful is to help shepherd that through and forward, right? And so I think the district has done quite a bit. There's been a lot accomplished over the last several years, but it all starts with support, not only the Board of Ed, the community, passage of these bond issues. And a lot of that is how we tell our story, how we, share what the need is. The football stadiums were great partnership projects, working very closely with, you know, the broader community and finding ways to raise money to help drive those projects forward. So, it's been fun and interesting. I enjoy that work for sure. But been a lot of work and a lot of people involved.
Somebody, before I let you go, you know, somebody like yourself, history of leading different large staffs and departments under you. Did you have a mentor that you learned a lot from that you've taken over the years? And not to put you on the spot, we didn't even talk about this before we went on. But I just think it's always important to think back of some of those individuals that that helped kind of pave the way or at least contribute to giving you some advice that you've taken with you?
That's a great question. I don't know if they were active mentors or if they even knew it or know it. But early in my career, I mentioned I started working at the Mid-America Regional Council, and the individual in charge of that organization, big outfit, his name is David Warm. He's still there, David Warm. And so I worked there back in 94.
Mm.
David was the city administrator in Liberty. So this is before I was in Liberty. So there was a little bit of a odd connection there with Liberty. But the way David conducted himself as being in charge of that organization and just the just seeing him operate that space, seeing how he cared about people, how he knew your name, and I was kind of lower on the totem pole. And still from time to time, I'll bump into him. And again, this guy's been at it for a long time, and he'll know my name. He'll ask me how things are going. He just knows my story. And so that I've learned a lot there. I mean, I think that's helped me be more keyed in to people and how you work with people. And then I'd also add, for a few years, we did move out to Western New York and I worked as a city planning director in a town of Jamestown, New York. My boss there, it was a very hyper-political environment. My boss there, Sam Teresi, he eventually became mayor. But Sam was a great mentor in how to work in that case, a really kind of intensive political environment. But if you can learn how to kind of move and be and adapt and survive in that kind of environment, it helps and sets you up for me for the rest of my career, and kind of because I have worked with a lot of boards and city councils and mayors. And so those are the two that come to mind.
Good stuff. Well, as we wrap things up, I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't wrap this up by saying that something that you didn't share is the fact now that you've been in Kansas City now for a good chunk of your life and career, for you to be a lifelong Kansas City Chief and Kansas City Royal fan has really been special to see.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Go back, go.
Yes, that's just so people know, a big Packer fan, a big Brewer fan, Bucks, Wisconsin. Yeah. And that always be in your blood, right?
Yeah, can't shake it. It's there. So enjoy it.
Yeah, well, hey, enjoy the conversation. Good information. And I think going back to, again, the really wanted to focus on the construction projects, I think we need to wrap up by also letting those listeners interested in finding out more drive them to our website, lps53.org.
That's right. And in the upper right, there's a tab that I think it says bond or bond issue. And everything you want to know about the projects, from what they're going to look like to what benefit they bring and the construction schedule. We update that every month, so it's always fresh. And then there's also an opportunity there through the Let's Talk portal if you have questions. We're always eager to answer anybody's questions pertaining to any of these projects. So feel free to shoot them our way.
Thanks for joining us, Chief. Good job. And thanks for all you do for LPS.
You're welcome.
Steve Anderson, Chief Operations Officer, joining us as part of In the Loop with LPS. Thanks for listening out there. And again, we'll look forward to introducing you to another guest here in a couple weeks.
Thanks for choosing to spend a few minutes with us and getting in the loop with LPS. Don't forget, you can also stay in the loop with us by following Liberty Public Schools on our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and by downloading our LPS mobile app for that mobile-friendly experience. This has been a production of the Liberty Public Schools Communications Office. For more about this podcast and all you need to know about LPS, visit our website at www.lps53.org.